Off the Ball Rugby.
The overwhelming kind of reaction is that he's fortunate to be selected there, that, you know, the likes of Tom Jordan, maybe Darcy Graham, that they're unlucky that they're not called up.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Off the Ball's Football Daily.
Hello and welcome to Monday's Football Daily. I'm David Wilson. Coming up today, we'll get the latest from the US as US President Donald Trump crashes the Chelsea trophy celebrations at the Club World Cup. We'll get the latest from the Women's European Championships as England booked their spot in the quarterfinals last night, and what Irish goalkeeper is making a move to Everton. But first today, Chelsea have ended their incredibly long season as world champions after beating Paris Saint-Germain 3-0 in the final of the Club World Cup. Cole Palmer scored twice, with João Pedro bagging the other in New Jersey as Enzo Maresca's side stunned the Champions League winners. The manager praised his players for their success.
I said since the first press conference that I was in love with the squad, and it's true. But we said many times that the talent is not enough. You need sacrifice, you need togetherness, you need a game plan where all the players think in the same way, and it's just because of them.
Donald Trump took centre stage as Chelsea lifted the trophy. The American president joined FIFA chief Gianni Infantino on the pitch in New Jersey to present the silverware and was booed by parts of the 81,000 strong crowd. After the medals and trophy were given out, Trump lingered on stage whilst Chelsea celebrated. Chelsea's Cole Palmer was baffled.
Nah, I knew he was going to be here, but I didn't know he was going to be on the stand when we left the trophy, so I was a bit confused, yeah.
While Chelsea captain Reece James admitted that it was a surreal moment.
Before they told me that he was going to present the trophy and then exit the stage, and I thought that he was going to exit the stage, but he wanted to stay.
Trump was interviewed by Emily Austin on host broadcaster DAZN during a 24-minute halftime break in the game. The US president debated whether making an executive order regarding should the sport be called football or soccer.
Mr. President, you've made history on just about every stage in the world, but now we're watching history unfold here in the United States as the World Club Cup takes place here. What does it say for America on a global stage, not just for politics, but now sports too?
Well, it's a big thing, and you know, Johnny's a friend of mine. He's done such a great job with the league and with soccer, or they would call it football, but I guess we call it soccer. I'm not sure that change could be made very easily.
Yeah.
But it's great to watch, and this is a little bit of an upset that we're watching today, isn't it, huh?
No, surprising.
So far, it's incredible.
What if we make an executive order? We can only say football from now on.
I think we could do that. I think I could do that.
The tournament as a whole has been blighted by weather delays, playing games in the peak of the summer heat, poor attendances and a failure to grasp the European audience in particular. However, Trump praised the work his friend Gianni Infantino has been doing.
Yeah, well, speaking of Gianni, I mean, FIFA has been so wonderful in this process, and I know that you've had their trophy on your desk. Now it's at the Trump Tower. Right. What do you think they're doing for the sport in America?
Oh, they're doing fantastically well. It's a growing sport. It's a great sport. That's right. They said, could you hold this trophy for a little while? We put it in the Oval Office. And then I said, when are you going to pick up the trophy? He says, we're never going to pick it up. You can have it forever in the Oval Office. We're making a new one. And they actually made a new one. So that was quite exciting. But it is. It's in the Oval. Right now it's in the Oval.
Oh, okay. Maybe I'll come see it.
Trump believes that soccer will do very well in the U.S. ahead of the men's FIFA World Cup there next summer.
You talk about winning, you talk about making America the greatest again. Do you see any instance in where America could start dominating in football on a global stage?
Well, I can tell you we're doing very well on the other stage, on the political stage, on the financial stage. I was just in Saudi Arabia, I was in Qatar, I was in UAE. Mm-hmm. Here we have Qatar and, you know, the big presence they have. But all of the leaders, and then you look at NATO, all of the leaders said a year ago your country was dead. And now you have the hottest country in the world. There's a lot of truth to that. We were doing very badly as a country. We had an incompetent administration. And now we have a hot country. It's really hot. And I think the soccer is going to be very hot here, too. It already is. It's gotten, you know, a lot of play. And I think with the play come the great players. And I think it'll do very well.
Four matches failed to get 10,000 fans, with the lowest, the 3,412 who watched the Mamelodi Sundowns beat Ulsan 1-0. But before the final, there were 15 crowds of 60,000 or more, with the highest being 80,619, who saw PSG beat Atletico Madrid 4-0 in Pasadena. Most of the highest attendances were at games involving PSG or Real Madrid, and the majority of the knockout games have been well attended. The average attendance of 38,369 is below that of any World Cup since Chile in 1962. Reasons given for some of the low attendances were the kickoff times, many were in the middle of a weekday, ticket prices, weather, and concerns about immigration and customs enforcement raiding games. Both DAZN and Trump think that despite that, this tournament has been a success.
Yeah, I'll give you some great numbers we got this week. So in this arena alone, we sold out four times in the last week.
Wow.
Over 2.4 million people filled up this arena. Almost 3 billion viewers, 1 billion in prize money. I know we like to talk about billions here, but it's been quite a success.
I could see it, and we flew over, the stadium was packed. And that's the four matches I know for this group that came in for this. And I think that's fantastic. It was very impressive. Even flying over, you could see the lines of people trying to get in. It's great.
It's been phenomenal.
Trump believes that football has the power to bring people together. Despite, on the 4th of June, he issued a proclamation restricting entry from Afghanistan, Chad, Republic of Congo, Equatorial Guinea, Eritrea, Haiti, Iran, Libya, Myanmar, Somalia, Sudan and Yemen, as well as partially restricting entry from Burundi, Cuba, Laos, Sierra Leone, Togo, Turkmenistan and Venezuela.
DAZN, we recognize that unity through sport is a very, very powerful tool.
Right.
So we've been streaming this entire tournament for free.
Ooh.
There are, like I said, almost 3 billion viewers all over the world watching this. What would your message be to all of the viewers from every corner of the globe?
Well, it is. It's about unity. It's about everybody getting together and a lot of love between countries. And this is such an I guess this is probably the most international sport.
Yeah.
So it can really bring the world together.
And finally, Trump was asked who he thought the greatest of all time was.
Before I let you go, I want to ask you, who is your GOAT, your greatest of all time?
In this sport you're talking about, not in another sport, in this sport.
Well, I want to give us all your GOATs. Go ahead.
So many years ago, when I was young, they brought a player named Pele to play. And he played for a team called the Cosmos. And Steve Ross, a friend of mine, Warner Communications, he was the inspiration we had, and this place was packed. It was an earlier version of this stadium, but right here in the Meadowlands, and it was Pelé. That's, I don't want to date myself, but that was a long time ago. I was a young guy, and I came to watch Pelé, and he was fantastic. And I'd say probably I'll go old fashioned. That's like saying Babe Ruth, but I would say Pelé was so great.
Meanwhile, UEFA President Alexander Ceferin has snubbed the entirety of the FIFA Club World Cup amid ongoing tensions between the European Confederation and the global world governing body, FIFA. While all other confederations have been represented at some stage by their presidents during this tournament, Ceferin, who is also a FIFA vice president by virtue of his role at UEFA, has stayed away from the competition. Sources familiar with the situation, but not authorised to speak publicly, believe senior executives at UEFA are concerned by FIFA's encroachment on the club game, the possible expansion of the Club World Cup, and the potential of the Club World Cup to one day challenge the hegemony of the UEFA Champions League as the world's most popular club competition. On Saturday, during a press briefing at Trump Tower in Manhattan, FIFA President Gianni Infantino refused to rule out the possibility of expanding the Club World Cup to include more European teams next time around, while also avoiding the question when asked directly if he would like to see the Club World Cup take place every 2 years rather than every 4 years. Infantino name-checked Manchester United, Arsenal, Liverpool, Tottenham Hotspur, Barcelona, Milan and Napoli as teams he would like to see involved, but it is unclear as to how the qualification formula or country cap may change to give those teams a better chance of being at the tournament. Now to the Women's European Championships, and England manager Serena Wiegmann was pleased to see her team dictate the game in their 6-1 thrashing of Wales to advance to the quarterfinals of the Women's Euros. The holders will come up against Sweden next while their opponents exit the tournament. Wiegmann says she wasn't too concerned about who they face next as a result of where they finished in the group.
What you're trying to do is win every game and then see where you finish in the group. Then you'll play who's against you or in front of you. And that's what it is. And if you want to be successful in the tournament, you should be able to win every single game.
Wales manager Rhiann Wilkinson hopes a first major tournament acts as a lasting legacy for young girls in the country. The debutants bowed out of the Women's Euros after finishing bottom of Group D after last night's heavy defeat against England in St Gallen. Wilkinson says it's important that they can inspire others.
This is a time in the world with a lot happening. I'm a football manager. I can't speak too much, but I will say that giving equal opportunity to our young girls has got to be something that we continue to push for.
Today is a rest day at the championships, as is tomorrow. England or Sweden will play the winners of Norway and Italy in a semi-final. Whilst the opposite side of the draw is stacked, world champion Spain will take on host nation Switzerland, and they will play the winners of the France-Germany quarter-final clash. Mark Travers has left Bournemouth to join Everton. The Republic of Ireland international will undergo his Everton medical this afternoon after reaching an agreement over personal terms ahead of signing for £4 million plus add-ons. Bournemouth are in the process of bringing in Chelsea's Georgi Petrovic for a deal worth £25 million. Meanwhile, another Irish international looks set to complete his move imminently. Evan Ferguson's next loan move away from Brighton will take him to Roma, where he is shaking hands on a season-long loan deal. Arsenal are working to complete a deal to sign Valencia centre-back Christian Mosquera. Personal terms are in place with the 21-year-old, and the two clubs are close to reaching an agreement. Arsenal have been active in the transfer market, having already secured the arrivals of midfielders Martin Zubimendi and Christian Norgaard from Real Sociedad and Brentford respectively, alongside goalkeeper Kepa Arrizabalaga from Chelsea. The club have also agreed a deal for Chelsea winger Noni Madueke and have an agreement in principle to sign Sporting CP forward Victor Gyökeres in a deal worth a total of €73.5 million. Alejandro Garnacho wants to leave Manchester United, but is not too eager on moving to the Saudi Pro League, even if it means teaming up with Cristiano Ronaldo. Al Nassr approached the Argentine winger to suggest a change of scene and a massive wage, but Garnacho wants to play in Europe. The same reportedly goes for his United colleague Marcus Rashford, with the England forward waiting for Barcelona to make a bid. One United winger finally getting to leave permanently is Jadon Sancho, who looks set to join Juventus for around £17.3 million. Only £60 million or so less than what they paid for him 4 years ago. Luis Diaz's repeated links to Bayern Munich and Barcelona mean Liverpool are considering replacements. One potential recruit is Real Madrid's Rodrigo. The Brazilian did not get many minutes under new head coach Xabi Alonso at the Club World Cup, something many see as a sign he is not fancied by the former Spain international. Arsenal were interested at one point, but the imminent arrival of Noni Madueke from Chelsea should mean the end to their search for a winger. Meanwhile, reports in Germany suggest Bayern will target Arsenal's Leandro Trossard if they fail to sign Diaz. West Ham have reached an agreement with Czech club Slavia Prague to sign defender Elhadj Malik Diouf. The 20-year-old would be West Ham's first signing of the summer in a window which has seen significant outgoings. Mohamed Kudus has been sold to Tottenham Hotspur, while Lukas Fabianski, Vladimir Soufal, Aaron Cresswell and Danny Ings have also left the London club. Mikel Antonio's contract has also expired on June 30th, but his departure has not been formally announced. The Senegal international made his senior national team debut in September of last year and has made 4 appearances, including 6 international friendlies. That is about all we have time for on today's Football Daily. I'm David Wilson, and we'll be back with more tomorrow.
To unlock much more from the OTB football feed, sign up at offtheball.com/join now.